Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It's time for the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network.
And I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Jesse, the baby brother, Wilson.
Your baby brother now?
I just took the Which McElroy Brother Are You quiz. I got Griffin, the baby brother.
Well, you are a baby brother.
I am.
I'm a baby brother as well.
Mm-hmm. This is the Baby Brother Podcast, brought to you by two little baby bros.
Two little baby bros, broing it up on the baby cage. That's what you call it, Grib.
The baby cage.
I want to, first of all, thank Neil for submitting the very first fan intro to the show, a la Johnny Knoxville. So thank you, Neil, for doing that. And Jesse, how's your week?
Good. I woke up from a dream on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a dream that I was playing a board game with you and Levi and Jordy.
Okay.
And the game was played on a chessboard.
Love
with
it.
Chess pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a strategy game, and the chess pieces, like the pieces moved around completely different from chess.
So we're playing that game from the Millennium Falcon.
A little bit.
Was it like battle chess?
And I woke up from it and remembered some of the rules and wrote them down, so I kind of want to workshop this crazy weird game.
Mm-hmm.
The dream game.
I love it, Jesse.
So we'll do that at PAX. I'm excited about that.
I've always wondered about that, because from time to time, I will be dreaming and I will dream a song that's like really super catchy.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just catchy because it's already literally like implanted in my subconscious, but... Sometimes I'll like wake up and I'll be like, damn, that was a catchy song.
You gotta keep some sheet music by your bed.
I just gotta keep a little recorder.
Right, and sing into it.
Yeah, no, by recorder, I mean, like one of those recorders you had in elementary school.
Oh, right. Play it.
Yeah, and go, doo doo. Lydia will love that.
Yeah, that will be a great awakening.
Dual meanings today on the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Yeah, man, that sounds awesome. I love the dream stuff. I got to go to an awesome baseball game this week.
Right, your Marinaros are like going to the playoffs.
Oh, hopefully. They're tied right now for the...
With whom?
With the
Yanks?
Detroit Tigers.
Uh-oh. Who are on a major skid. They're a good team, right?
They are, but they're on a major skid. So, Mariners won 7 of 8.
And yeah, Mariners are streaky.
They're super streaky. I told ya.
So maybe they're streaking at the right time. How many games are left? Like less than 100 at this point?
44.
Okay. So still like a butthole ton of games.
Yes. But it's kind of great because I went to the game on Monday night. Felix Hernandez pitched, dominant pitching from him. And I was sitting in the King's Court section, which is like this section that you get like a free t-shirt and you get a card that has a big K on it. And they gave out little K towels. And everybody was swinging them around. But the thing is, and I think I talked about this last time they were in town, the Blue Jays.
Oh, your most hated of teams.
I actually think that they are my most hated team now.
I love that you hate the Blue Jays so much.
The Canadian contingent. And, you know, so this is the thing. You know, I don't have anything against Canadians. In fact, I love Canadians.
Uh-huh.
But for Christ's sakes, don't go to somebody else's stadium. Buy half the seats. And cheer against the team. That's just bad. That's bad etiquette. That's anti-Canadian.
It's bad on the Mariners fans for allowing that to happen, though.
Well, come on.
Not like the Niners can buy out half of the Seahawks games because the Seahawks fans buy up all the tickets.
I get that. But, I mean, there are only 8 Seahawks home games. There are 81 Mariners home games. You can't expect us to sell them all out. We're not Boston, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
The stadium holds 42,000 people. So anyway, the thing was like a near sellout. It's one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen at Safeco Field. And the Canadian fans were really getting on my nerves. They took an early lead. They were cheering. But then the Mariners came back and won 11-1. So it was beautiful.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they destroyed. They destroyed. And like there was this one, the inning where they like scored 7 runs. There was a thunderstorm and like lightning struck as Robinson Cano stepped up to the plate. And then he hit a double. And then they played Thunderstruck.
Yeah, AC/DC.
It was wonderful.
Starts wailing. Here's what I love about your newfound hatred of
the Blue
Canadian
Jays.
Interlopers.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with Canadians in general. Mm-mm. It's when Canadians do like a cultural takeover of your town.
Exactly.
Because I lived in Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah.
And it was right when the American dollar took a dump. And during Christmas season, the Canadians would storm the town and buy stuff.
Yeah.
They would just buy stuff. And then, like, they wanted to get back to Canada without a hassle from customs and have to, like, declare taxes on the stuff that they bought. So they would tear all the tags off and throw the receipts and the bags in the parking lot and just bail.
Just bail.
It was like a ghost town. Yeah. Like a wasteland in the parking lot.
Well, this is the thing. So, like, I'm walking through. So, I have my K card, and it's all rolled up. I have plenty of K cards. I don't need any more of them. So, I kind of abuse this K card. But, so I had it all rolled up, and I had it, like, in my back pocket. I was walking through the crowd trying to get a beer. And all of a sudden, I feel this tap on my shoulder. And I turn around, and it's this dude, and he's, like, decked out full Blue Jay stuff, head to toe Blue Jays. And he just looks at me and he goes, "Hey, I think you dropped this." And he like handed me my K card. And I was like, "Fucking Canadians, you're so goddamn nice."
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Like that would never happen with any American sports fan. Like
any other baseball
team. Like a Raiders game or something.
any other baseball team that would not happen. People would like try to literally stomp on it and try to smash it into the pavement.
Mm-hmm. Turn it into a makeshift paper mache shiv.
Yep. Exactly. So anyway, it's definitely a love hate. You know, we love the Hex 19 guys up in Edmonton.
No, I still love Canada.
I love Canada. We're going to Canada for my birthday, I think. Death Cab for Cutie's last show with Chris Walla is going to be happening in Victoria on my birthday.
Sick.
So, and I will finally see my favorite band, Death Cab for Cutie. So, like, Lydia and I this weekend,
You've never seen them?
I've never seen them live.
That surprises me.
It's crazy, because I love Death Cab for Cutie. Like, they're my favorite band of all time. I think it got to a point where it was like, I was almost scared to see them live.
Oh, really?
And then I was
didn't want the letdown?
Exactly. But now it's like, this is the last chance to see the actual band, like, in its entirety live. So I gotta go, and it's on my birthday, and it's in one of my favorite cities in the world, Victoria. So we're gonna go get our enhanced driver's license this weekend.
Yeah.
So we can scoot back and forth between Canada and the U.S. So don't hate Canadians, just hate the Blue Jays.
Right.
So.
And you don't even hate Blue Jays fans because they handed you your cake.
Well, individually, I don't hate them, but as a group, I do hate them. Individually, they're fine.
Yeah.
So let's get to some listener feedback. Jesse, what are you drinking this week before we get to that?
Oh, man, I'm drinking free beer from work. I took a case of short fills, and it was nothing but scotches and stouts. So,
perfect for this cold weather.
Yeah, so I have just been, like, drinking these heavy beers, and it's been nice.
Nice. I'm drinking an Arrogant Bastard, so I'm kind of right up there with you.
There you go.
All right, let's get to some listener feedback. So Michael McBrien... Michael McBride. Am I saying his name right?
It's McBride, I think.
I get him mixed up with Danny McBride, and then I think it's like the same. Anyway, it is Michael McBride. He decided he was going to call us every day this week. And that is a noble pursuit, Michael, but unfortunately, we just don't have enough time to play all of them. But I wanted to play my favorite. He left us 7 voicemails this week. It is a huge feat. Michael, I don't want to quelch your feat. It's a great feat. But we gotta keep the show tidy. So I'm gonna play my favorite voicemail. This one came to us on day 3, I believe. So here it is.
Michael McBride with day 3 of daily voicemails here. I was just thinking, I was re-listening to episode 199 where my idea for the Bald Move movie, basically, you push it up with the paranormal, where you guys came up with the Paranormal Activity thing. And I still like, and you mentioned that you need to think about making a full movie treatment for it. So, I really still want to hear your full movie treatment of Casting a Shadow. Alrighty, and also, I just was recently got into doing some more local beers, and apparently Dogfish isn't too far from where I'm at, so I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
I kind of forgot that Michael becomes a voice box at the end of that. He usually records these things at like 5 in the morning. So
right.
So yeah, dude, that treatment for casting a shadow. I don't think we're going to get to that this episode, but I did want to tell people that there is the Casting the Shadow official poster is up on the Personal Records Facebook page. And I really think it's kind of crazy how much Seth Rogen looks like A-Ron when you put A-Ron's beard on him in Photoshop. It was kind of insane.
It sort of looks like A-Ron meets Osama bin Laden, though.
Osayron bin Laden.
That's his nom de plume for a different podcast.
Osayron. I like it. And yeah, man, Dogfish Head, I mean, I don't drink a lot of Dogfish Head, but I feel like they like rep the East Coast in terms of craft beers. I know they were like voted top craft beer for a few years in a row. What do you think of Dogfish Head? Because they are Easters. They're East Coasters.
It's kind of one of those things like when I bought a six-pack of Stone, and mm-hmm. by the time I drank it, by the time it had gotten to me, it was already old and stale and oxidized. Like, I don't think I can truly judge Dogfish Head until I get over to the East Coast and try it fresh and try it, you know, at the brewery.
Yeah.
So I'm reserving judgment.
I'm with you. It's amazing to me, even doing something like going to Elysian here in Seattle and drinking an Elysian beer right off the tap, or going down to Deschutes, which is one of my favorite breweries, and trying their beers off the tap. It's just a completely different experience.
Yeah. So yeah, and you never know, like, as a brewer, and a cellarman, you do your best to, you know, make the best beer, package it correctly, but once you put it on someone else's truck, it's out of your hands, and you don't know what they're doing with it. You don't know how long it's going to be unrefrigerated in the truck, getting hot, or how long it's going to sit around in a warehouse, and then once it is distributed, how long is it going to sit in the back of the grocery store, and then how long is it going to sit on the shelf at the grocery store waiting to get purchased? So there's just so many variables.
Word up, yo. But yeah, Dogfish Head. I mean, they are, and they had that show. Is it like Brewmasters or whatever? It's on Netflix.
I still haven't seen that one.
It's like Brew in USA. I don't know what it is. But
much
I watched
you and your favorite band.
Yes.
I find it like hard for me to watch shows about brewing and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. And plus, the guy comes off as kind of like a fratty douche. So, but that's just my opinion.
Who is?
The guy who owns Dogfish Head.
Oh, I read his book, and I think he's not a bad guy. He's not a fratty dude.
I don't think that he tries to be a bad guy. I just think I would find him grating.
He's just got a weird personality that's very energetic.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a bunch of Blue Jays fans. To me. All right, here's our next voicemail. I believe this is from a new caller. Here it is.
Hey Eric, hey Jesse, I'm here, this is Will from Alabama, working outside, listening to your podcast, helps me get through the day a little bit some days, just sweating my tail off down here, enjoying it. I just wanted to talk to you guys about a couple things, made me think about you guys talking about in this last podcast. I wanted to talk to you guys about Plaid Hat Games. I don't know, I don't listen to every single thing you've ever done. I've been listening probably since the beginning of the year. It's been pretty awesome 7 months, guys. But Plaid Hat Games. You guys ever played any games from that company? Really good company. The couple games that I played from them I really like, and I was curious if you played their newest. I really like the Summoner Wars game. I have most of the decks. I don't have any of the new stuff, but that's a really good two-player game that I really recommend you and Jesse trying out one time. It's fairly inexpensive in terms of starting off, so you should try that out. But I want to hear if you've heard anything about or played Might and Mystics. And the other one is Dead of Winter. It sounds pretty cool. It's like a survival horror game, except for the whole thing is about, not really about the zombies, but about accomplishing goals and working together as a team. And like individual, from what I've heard, it's like individuals have conditions to win, but there's a group condition to win, and you know everyone can win, and not one person can win. And you're supposed to keep those personal goals hidden or something. I don't know. Sounds conniving and interesting. Good five, you know, bigger group game. Sounds cool. Anyways, heading off to a Sweetwater festival this weekend. Should be pretty awesome. Again, it'll be hope to call you back and tell you guys about that one. Anyways, stay arrogant and stay off my back. Bye.
What is up, Will from Alabama? Get off my back, buddy.
Love that Southern drawl.
Dude, Will is easily creeping toward my favorite accent. Now, Roger, don't worry about it. Roger Dotsy, the dulcet drawl. I love it. But I just love the laid back nature. I feel like I was sipping a lemonade on a porch.
Yeah. That was made me happy about that was him saying that he listens to podcasts while he works outside.
Yeah.
Cause I started listening to podcasts while I had an outside work job.
Yeah.
And they really helped me get through the day. So I'm glad that I can help do that for someone else.
Not bad, Will. So anyway, Plaid Hat Games, I have not played any of the Plaid Hat games, but all of them are really renowned and I want to play them. I just haven't got, you know, board games are kind of one of those tough things. Especially for me, because like I really don't want to spend more than $50 on a board game. And it's a little irrational because if you look at cost per play or cost per hour, it's always so small with board games, especially really good ones. But it's just so hard for me to make that initial $50+ investment. So most of the board games that I buy are in the $25 to $40 range. And when you're talking about Mice and Mystics, which is a game that I just hear so many great things about, that's one of those more expensive games. And Dead of Winter just came out, just dropped. I mean, that's a $50 game. But I've watched some playthroughs of Dead of Winter and I definitely want to try it out. It's got a cool type of, event in it. And it's kind of what the game is advertised around is that like, as certain things will occur, it's kind of like an Arkham Horror type of thing where you're exploring different buildings, trying to find food and stuff during a zombie apocalypse. But as different things occur, you'll get a card, and that card is personally, secret to you, but it has a condition on it. So like, if someone enters this building, or if someone runs out of food, then this event happens. So you're the only person who knows that event's going to happen. But you're also the keeper of that event, so it kind of spurs more story elements spinning off of it, which sounds very Arkham Horror-esque. I just don't know about zombie games, dude. I just feel like the zombie genre is a little played out.
Yeah, the whole zombie game thing kind of turns me off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not really that interested in more zombie media in general.
Yeah. Now, if we're doing a survival horror, we have Arkham Horror. That's our survival horror game. It only took us like 4 years to learn all the rules to that one. I don't want to break out anything else. But thank you so much for calling, Will, and stay cold down there in Alabama. Love the American Heartland calling in on this show. What else we got here? Oh, new voicemail. I don't think I even pre-listened to this one, so this is an adventure. Let's go on it together.
Hey guys, Jesse and Eric. This is Kevin in Austin. I've called in maybe a few times. I don't know. It's been a while. Anyway, I was walking my dog on the trail, still AIM, and I've been assailed by horseflies. I don't know if you guys have those up in the Pacific Northwest, but they're quite a nuisance down here. I'm almost out of breath, running, flailing my arms about, trying to keep them off me. Anytime I stop flailing or running, they're biting my back, and it's pissing me off. I can't enjoy my walk with the dog because I'm being assailed by hyenas of the air. And I was wondering if you guys dealt with those, like I already said. Because previously you guys had mentioned wasps being wolves of the air. So I'm thinking that horseflies are the hyenas of the air. Discuss amongst yourself if you like. Stay arrogant and get off my turtle back.
Get off my turtle back.
Turtle
Kevin.
Back.
Yeah. I think that's like a Nickelback cover band with Ninja Turtles.
Sounds awesome.
So my favorite thing about this voicemail, about Kevin's voicemail here, is I'm pretty sure I know how this whole thing happened. Like, horseflies attacking him, biting him on the back. So he slaps at it, says, get off my back, then says, I need to call personal arrogance and tell him about it.
Get off my back, horseflies. Love it.
Yeah, I also love it. I think we should go with it. The hyenas of the air.
I don't think I've ever experienced a horsefly.
You've never experienced a horsefly, really?
We don't get them here.
There's not a ton of them, but they're around.
They bite you?
Yeah,
I've never
dog.
Been bitten by a fly.
I have been bitten by a horsefly for sure. It hurts. Huh. Like, it's not like a mosquito bite. Like, horseflies bite you and you know it.
Yeah, like a tick or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if you know ticks that well.
I got bit by ticks.
Okay, good. Did it hurt?
Yeah, a lot, and it hurt for days.
Yeah, horseflies hurt initially, because that's what they do. They literally cut your skin until you bleed, and then they drink the blood. They're not like mosquitoes who drill, drill baby drill. They're just like, you know, fracking.
They're like hydrofracking your skin.
Yeah, they're hydrofracking your skin. So anyway, yeah, man, horseflies, especially over in Eastern Washington, but basically anytime you're around livestock, you're going to have horseflies. So, anyway.
Western Washington is like the cradle of America, I think. It's just so gentle over here.
It's very gentle. All we have is earthquakes and volcanoes.
Yeah, and the thing that kills you is like the goats.
The goats, motherfucker.
Just stay away from the goats and you're good.
Yeah, just stay away from the goats. There's no Irukandji. There's no sharks. This ain't no Shark Week.
There's no sharks in the Puget Sound.
There are sharks. They're like dogfish.
Not about that.
They're like dogfish, but they're not like.
There's little sharks. Yeah, but there's no like great whites rolling around.
Exactly. We have orcas, the guardians of the ocean, to protect us.
Mm-hmm. They never killed anyone.
They literally haven't. There's no reported deaths from orca whale outside of captivity.
Yeah.
So keep them out. Keep them out of captivity. That's what I say.
I'm with you on that one.
We got another voicemail here. This one's an interesting one. Let's take a listen.
$88. In order to receive this offer, you must be 28 years of age and over and have a valid credit card in order to check into the resorts.
Oh.
For more information, press 1 now.
All right.
Did she say 28?
Yeah, you have to be over 28 years old.
Damn!
And have a valid credit card to check into the resort. I thought 25 was like the last age that you couldn't do stuff.
I don't turn 28 for 11 days. I'll never be able to redeem this offer.
Never be able to redeem it? You'll never be able to. Are we camping on your birthday?
Yeah.
We are?
Sunday.
Oh, shit, man. It's time for birthday time.
Yeah, except, like, Sunday, we're just gonna, like, pack up and go home.
So. Yeah, I got a softball game. Sorry. Well, happy birthday to you early.
Thanks.
And then we got one more email. This one comes to us from, let's see, who sent this? Ian sent this. He says, "Hey, guys, I believe Jesse's drink that he was talking about on the last cast, an Arnold Palmer with vodka, is colloquially known as the John Daly for the hard-drinking, heavy-smoking PGA Tour Pro. Swap in Everclear, and you've got a Happy Gilmore. Keep up the great work, and get off my back and stay arrogant." Thank you, Ian, for clearing that up. I think that that is an apt name, and I agree.
Yeah, except I like the Arnie Palm with whiskey, though, not with vodka.
Oh, okay, so if the Arnold Palm with whiskey is a John Daly, the Arnold Palm with Everclear is the Happy Gilmore.
No, the John Daly's with vodka.
Right, that's what I meant. What did I say?
You said with whiskey.
Okay, so that means who is another golfer that we can talk about here? I'm thinking we'll just go Shooter McGavin.
There you go.
The adversary.
What about the guy from Price is Right?
Oh, Bobby. Dude, Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
If Bob Barker's gotta have a drink already named after him. But
yeah.
If not, that's a perfect Bob Barker. It's a punchy in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. All right, let's move on to our topics this week, Jesse. I'm very excited about our topics. So we're going to start it off with a little bit of gaming.
Here we go.
Okay, Jesse, so I sent you a link.
Okay.
Can you click on that link, please?
Clicking on it now. It's loading.
It's loading. Great pod. So basically what I did is I sent you a link to a game. And that game is called Gods Will Be Watching.
Okay.
And this is a game that I find extremely fascinating. I saw a playthrough of this originally. Oh, there's a little sound effect going on. I like it. There's a so they did a playthrough of this originally. I saw a playthrough of this online. Apparently, it's on Steam Early Access. But there's also a Flash version that you can get if you just go to www.deconstructteam.com/game/gods-will-will. Oh, gods-will-be-washing. So, or you can just search for "Gods Will Be Watching" and click on the first thing that comes up. But Jesse, are you seeing the title screen?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I just got click to start.
Okay, cool. So basically, what you need to do here, Jesse, is you need to keep all your people alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to...
Even Marvin the dog?
Even Marvin the dog. I don't think you need to keep Marvin the dog alive.
All right. Action one, Marvin, get on the fire pit, dinner.
So you need to keep... So Marvin's good because he goes out and catches you food. But you need to keep the fire going.
Uh-huh.
You need to keep everybody from not going crazy and running away.
I have a psychiatrist, so that should help.
Yes, because she can treat everybody at once, but she also goes a little crazy.
She's a little too close to the ammo box for my comfort.
Also,
the doctor is smoking.
Yes.
That ironic. Mm-hmm. Also, he's smoking right next to the ammo box.
Right.
Don't know how I feel about that.
So then you also have to fix the radio.
Mm.
Which is what the engineer is there for. He's
well,
really
I got a robot.
That. You have the robot. You don't have to really worry about him. And you have to keep the fire lit, and the fire only stays lit for 3 days.
Okay. Wow. That's a pretty good fire.
It's a pretty good fire. But, so what you get, you have 4 actions your first turn. So, you're just going to start clicking and doing some actions. You got to get food. You got to create some antidotes. The doctor creates antidotes. You got to keep your people sane with the psychiatrist. And you got to fix that radio so that they come and rescue your team. And you have, I believe, 40 days to do it?
Yeah, I think 40.
Okay. So I want you to start playing through and tell us what's going on.
Great. There's a dude I can't really click on.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle.
That's you.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, so don't worry about that guy.
Okay, let's talk to the soldier first.
Okay.
He says, so I can talk or hunt.
Yeah.
Cost 1 to 3 bullets, 90% success, or kill?
Yeah, so you can also just straight up kill these people.
Oh.
And that's going to make everybody else go crazy, but it's also going to drastically reduce the amount of resources that you need.
Oh, I get it. Well, let's see what the dog can do here.
So the dog
can pet
hunt.
The dog. Right. Definitely action number one, pet the dog. Martin says woof.
I don't think that actually costs an action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hunt costs 0 bullets, 60% success, or kill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So you, the soldier and the dog can both hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But, the soldier uses the ammunition, but he has a higher chance of catching meat. The dog doesn't use any ammunition, but he has a lower chance of catching meat.
I have 26 laser rounds left.
Yep.
So that's good.
Yep.
I gotta see what this, Brandon can do.
Let's do it.
Request inform.
Yeah, so that, he'll like let you basically know what the, so this is a robot guy, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be able to tell you, how well the, radio is repaired.
He's got to
repair
that
radio.
0 out of 50.
Yeah, you gotta repair that radio.
That's not good. Alright. Repair radio. The engineer should be more effective, but I'll do my best.
Yeah. So the
Brandon repaired 4% of the radio.
Yeah. Okay, so that was your first action.
That's pretty good.
And the engineer is really good at repairing the radio. That's basically all he's there for.
How do I... Oh, let's look at my food.
Yeah.
I don't want to run out of food. Let's count stock. We have 30 rations of food.
Okay.
And I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Does the dog count against rations?
I don't think so.
And does the robot...
Wait, can you kill the dog?
Yes.
He probably counts against rations then.
Okay, let's see what psychiatrist group therapy...
Yep.
All actions.
Yeah, so the...
I just killed the psychiatrist. I don't need her.
You did?
Yes.
Immediately?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, God, you're going to lose so bad.
Doctor, repair the radio. I'll see what I can do. All right, engineer. Let's get the dog to go hunt.
Okay, that dog can hunt.
Got 6 rations of food. Pretty good. That's going to last longer because I killed that stupid know-it-all, Frasier. Doctor, I don't think I need you either.
Are you,
bam!
You killed him?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you already used four actions.
Oh, I forgot about the fireplace. Everyone froze during the night.
So you automatically lost.
Yeah. Oops.
Well, Jesse, I've never only played it and only survived 0 days. So you've set a new record. That's a chino.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about that playthrough.
So the crazy thing about this game is that it is extremely hard. Okay, I don't know anybody who has actually beaten the first level. The closest I got was 13 days left. Which was, I felt like a huge accomplishment getting that deep. Because there's so many things that can go wrong, and this game is super hard, and this is like one level of this game. Gods will be watching. So it's, suffice to say, this is like one of my most anticipated games, because it incorporates a lot of things that I really enjoy. It incorporates brain-bending puzzles. It incorporates point-and-click adventure. It incorporates pixel graphics in like a cool stylized way. I like the skinny legs.
Yeah.
And it has dogs. And that's basically my kind of game. So, do you want to try it one more time?
Yeah, I just reloaded it. I got the fireplace going this time.
So, and I just want to reiterate to people, this is a free game and you don't even need to download it. It is browser based. Just search for Gods Will Be Watching and click on the first thing and you can play this level.
All right, I got 6% of the radio.
Okay.
I'm just going to, like, rush the radio with the engineer here.
Like it. Don't forget the fire.
It's already lit.
Okay.
I mean, it goes for 3 days, right?
Yes.
Okay. Repair radio. I'm going to get that dog hunting.
Cool.
That dog can hunt.
Yep.
And the music is really good.
It's really good.
Okay. 39 days left.
Way to go, buddy. You've already beat your personal best.
All right. Repair radio.
So the thing you have to watch is that there's no, like, gauges above the people showing you how sane they are, but they'll start to, like, rock back and forth or, like, move weirdly.
Yeah, they're kind of, they look kind of nervous.
That'll let you know that they are getting a little antsy.
Okay. Send the dog hunting. Repair radio. Mm-hmm. And I guess group therapy.
So you can't do that because that uses all your actions.
Oh, I thought it was like all remaining actions.
No, so you can just chat with them, but it takes a full day to do group therapy.
See? It'll take about 15 days. Oh. I didn't get an action. Oh, Jesus.
What happened?
Oh, the psychiatrist lady is wigging out.
Yeah, okay, so you gotta talk to her. So click on her.
Okay. Group therapy, or just talk or group
just
therapy?
Talk to her. Or you can do a group therapy and that'll do everybody.
We trust you, Sarge. The morale is crucial in this situation. Try to keep the mood of the team by talking to them.
Yep. So you could just talk to her if you want to target her individually, or if everybody's wigging out, then you could do group therapy.
I add wood to the fire.
Good. Good call.
Alright, dog. It's you and me, dog. I think I'm gonna kill everyone but the dog.
So if everybody dies but the dog, then you lose.
Oh.
So don't do that. So the other thing that you have to watch here, and you gotta think about with the doctor, is that if people are paralyzed, if they are not moving at all, then they have contracted a virus, and they need an antidote in order to counteract that virus or else they will die. So the only person who can make the antidote is the doctor.
It's funny that you say that because the doctor's not moving.
Yeah, so if he has the virus and he dies, then you're SOL with the antidote.
Cure. What happened? Oh, I say I must have been caught by the Medusa virus. Thanks for saving me.
Yep, that's good call. So you're going to want... So I think you get 2 antidotes to begin the game, but you're going to want to create some more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get working on the... Uh-oh. Oh, he was paralyzed, too. We'll need some meds to wake him up. Okay, prepare medicine.
Who's paralyzed?
The engineer.
Oh, shit. That grows your radio.
Well, I made a vaccine.
Good job.
Unfortunately, I'm an anti-vaxxer, so.
So, engineer, too bad.
Okay. I'm going to do a group therapy this round,
good,
I think.
Call. Is everybody kind of wigging out a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 35 days left. And we're back to normal, I think.
Okay.
Why is my soldier, like, kneeling?
Sometimes group therapy doesn't completely bring them back to 100% sanity.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the fire going.
Good call.
Is this good podcast? I can't tell.
I think all so, right. Man. We're basically twitching. We're twitch.podcast.com right now.
I gotta look at this radio.
I like it. I've been watching a ton of playthroughs online lately, and I find them extremely compelling. So
radio repair 21 out of 50.
There you go. We're basically just doing the audio version. So people can play a video game while they are on their earphones, while playing a video game on their iPhones on the bus.
You probably should be playing this game.
Media
right,
and
let's
revolution.
Send the dog out. Man, my dog's an awesome hunter.
Yeah, is he doing well? He's pretty good.
Oh, jeez. Why is my psychiatrist constantly freaking out?
Well, because she understands the true depths of the human mind.
I guess.
So when put in a situation of stark survivability, she is a little bit unglued.
She seems like a big wimp to me.
Is everybody...
14 rations of food left.
Not bad. That's good. That'll hold you a few days.
How much ammo do I have? I still have like 26 laser rounds.
Yeah, so you're only going to use your ammo for hunting, or you might get attacked by bandits in the night, which will use up some of your ammo.
Oh.
And they steal some shit, too.
Oh, bandits. Okay, let's continue with this radio repair. I'm just going to rush radio repair.
Nice. What's your radio at?
Do I have to repair the radio and get to the 40th day, or...?
Yes. So repairing the radio enables endgame to occur, because... That tells this spaceship that you need to be picked up.
Okay, but, I'm at 36 out of 50.
Nice. Yeah, so, but you also don't have to have everybody survive. I think you only need to have two people survive, or even, might even only be one person survive.
Oh no, my dog failed.
Yeah, but once people start dying, then people start wigging out hardcore. Oh,
there's some spooky howling.
Yep.
What's that mean?
Just some wolves, probably, maybe some bandit attack. Did you get any prompts?
No.
Okay. No.
Okay, soldier. Oh, you're paralyzed.
Good thing you made that antidote. Oh, wait, you used that on the engineer.
Yeah, but I made another one. I give it to the soldier. And then I grab the soldier and tell him to go hunt.
There you go.
Bam, 7 rations of food, baby.
Wow.
Engineer, stop waking up. Wigging out and fix that radio. Oh, shoot! I forgot the fire!
No!
Oh!
Did everybody die?
Yeah.
Fuck! So that's the game, dude. Basically, you gotta keep the plate spinning.
The engineer psychiatrist became mad and ran away. We probably won't meet again.
Yeah. And everybody froze to death? Or no?
Hmm? And then I froze to death.
Good. So,
well, that's interesting.
As people die and as they run away, you get fewer and fewer actions. So, if you only have two people left, you only get 2 actions.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I guess that explained why some turns I had 4 and some turns I had 5 actions.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Because people were paralyzed.
Oh.
Maybe that was it.
Dude, that was a slick move though, to unparalyze the hunter, then send him out to hunt in one day. You created the antidote, then unparalyzed him, then send him out to hunt. But there goes the fire.
Yeah, we froze to death.
So that's I really like this game. I love how challenging it is, but it's not challenging in a time-based way like Faster Than Light is. Like Faster Than Light to me was a little too hectic just because I feel like I didn't have enough time to get everything done. This one is very difficult, but you have all the time in the world to figure out your choices.
No, that's a cool game. I'll have to play around with that some more.
Yeah,
it felt a little bit like the movie Aliens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's a sprawling sci-fi adventure. So right now there's only one level online, but, I think that there's something on Steam Early Access and they're going to be releasing a full game. Like, the level that I saw a playthrough of on Steam Early Access was, it was like you're trying to hack into a spaceship, but you have hostages and then there are like soldiers at the door trying to come in and they want to like kill you, but they don't want to come in because then you'll kill the hostages. But if you kill too many hostages, then they'll just come in anyway. And then there's like a chill room that you could send people to. It's basically, you know, a great game is a series of interesting choices. And that's basically what all that this game is a series of interesting choices.
Right.
So. I like it, man. I just wanted to socialize that a little bit, and I especially want to get your hands on it, because Levi and I have both been playing it, and we both like it. So, I hope you get to Day Zero, man. I have not been able to. It's real hard.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to play more of that.
All right. So that's some gaming news. Let's move on to some science.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great Scott! Okay, Jesse, this one, we're going to get a little doomsday. I think it's good to follow God's will be watching with this.
Yeah.
But this is a report from NPR. Last resort antibiotics in jeopardy as use rises globally. So the total doses of antibiotics sold in clinics and pharmacies around the world rose 36% from 2000 to 2010. The finding published in The Lancet of Infectious Disease, and if anybody is not out there subscribing to this, The Lancet of Infectious Disease, please, guys. Really, really interesting read and a great comic section. The first study to look at global antibiotic consumption in the 21st century. Seems like good news, right? The problem is we're using way too much antibiotics.
Right. Cause we're gonna run out or because we're making like super bugs.
Okay. So we're creating super antibiotics and then the super antibiotics are being used more frequently.
Right.
And frankly, we're running out of antibiotics. So this event, zombie apocalypse. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we can just get the doctor. Oh, wait, I blasted him.
You blasted him, man.
I can see now why killing the doctor and psychiatrist would be a bad idea.
I'm really wondering, because I feel like in that game you have to kill somebody to win. But I don't know who to kill and when to kill them.
Mm.
I feel like it might be the dog.
The dog. I don't understand why you need a robot.
Well, but you can't, it doesn't matter. The robot doesn't matter. The robot's basically just there to tell you the status of things.
Right.
This, by the way, this is a mark of a good game.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next topic. Let's keep talking about the game. I just feel like, cause the dog is the least obvious choice to kill. So I feel like maybe we should try.
No, it's the most obvious choice.
No, it's the least because he gets you food for free.
Oh, but I meant like from a humanitarian.
Right, from a humanitarian, I'm just saying, in the game world, he gets you a resource for free.
Maybe what you do is you spam the doctor early on.
Yeah, just for antibiotics.
And get as much antibiotics as you know you're going to need.
Right.
And then just blast him.
Yeah.
Like you did your job, doc, blam.
Yep.
Then you use the engineer to build up a bunch of... build up the radio, and then you blast him once the radio's built.
Well, yeah, because, like, the radio, you had plenty of time. Like, you almost had the radio done, and you were, like, in the beginning stages. I feel like the radio needs to be the last thing you do.
But I'm saying do it first, and then blast the...
So you're saying do the doctor first, then do the radio. Not to mention, more people can work on the radio than the engineer.
Right.
So maybe you just off the engineer right away.
Mm.
And slowly climb the radio ladder.
Yeah.
See, mark of a good game.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just saying, okay, so this is a problem, and it's interesting to me because apparently, so the weird thing about this too is that this came out before the Ebola outbreak, and I'm not saying antibiotics can cure Ebola because apparently it's incurable, but I think that there's a real possibility of like a superbug happening. And we've had almost super bugs happen. Bird flu, swine flu, which I got. Great flu, right. By the way. Top 10 flu. Swine flu.
It's way up there in the flus.
Way up there in the flus. But I don't know, man. It just kind of creeps me out in terms of antibiotics.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Like, I guess the problem is because people don't take antibiotics as prescribed.
Okay.
They take the antibiotic until they feel better, and then they stop.
Right.
But you're supposed to continue taking it to thoroughly kill, you know, whatever the infection is.
Yep.
But if you don't do that, then the survivor of the bacteria or whatever, they become antibiotic resistant because they learn how to fight it.
Exactly.
And that's how it gets screwy. And we make stronger and stronger antibiotics and end up creating stronger and stronger bugs
right.
in the meantime.
It's very akin to the Defense Department. Eventually those super weapons fall into the hands of the other guys, and then you have to create more super weapons. And then yeah. you're going to create a super weapon equilibrium, because you're not going to be able to create any more super weapons.
Yeah.
So
couldn't have said it better myself.
We all know. I don't know. I just thought this was a little bit interesting, and it became a little more interesting after the other health concerns that are coming up on this world. For the zombie people, you know, who might be playing Dead of Winter, might be playing Gods Will Be Watching, maybe you should be watching a little bit more antibiotics.
Yeah, and take them to completion, folks.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, buddy, let's do some trivia. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to be doing Genius One of Trivial Pursuits. And I'm going to be rolling a die to see which category we do this week. And it's a 5. It's science and nature. Very apropos.
There you go.
All right, Jesse, here we go. This question is for you. What did Esquire name Ashhole of the Year for 1980?
We've had this one before.
Okay, we did? I thought that was... I don't remember it. I thought that was still hilarious.
I can't remember, though. I'm going to say Mount St. Helens.
It's got to be Mount St. Helens. I already dug it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, there you go.
How could it not?
I don't know.
Went
it
about,
is.
Went to Mount St. Helens this summer. It was beautiful. This question's for me. What's the international radio code for the letter Q? Oh, God. I feel like I should know this. I'm going to go Quasar.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'll say Queen.
Quebec.
Oh, really?
Which is weird because it's already... I mean, don't Canadians pronounce Quebec? Quebec?
Like Quebec.
I don't know. I'd have to ask a Blue yeah. Jays fan. Jesse, this question's for you. What is the only mammal that can't jump?
I'm going to go with a walrus.
I'm going to go with a white man. Apparently walruses can jump, and the only mammal that can't is the elephant. Not a jumper.
Oh.
All right, this question's for me.
Well, like a whale can't.
Well, whales could jump out of water.
I guess that's true.
I don't know. An elephant can't jump out of water. This question's for me. I'm going to need this to tie. Which pole gets more sunlight, the North Pole or the South Pole? I'm going to go with the North Pole.
Let's say a trick question.
It is, in fact, the North Pole. Tilted a little bit more toward the sun. So that's a tie, Jesse, which means it's time for a geography tiebreaker. Whoever is geographically closest to the answer will win this week. Jesse, I'll let you answer first. What is the largest city in Latin America, circa 1981?
Latin America. Largest city. It's Mexico City? I'll say that. Is that Latin America? I don't even know.
I think it technically is Latin America. I was going to say that.
I really don't know.
I'm going to go with Buenos Aires. Mexico City is the answer.
All right.
You win everything this week. For some reason, my eyes went down to science and nature, and the answer for that was drugs. So anyway... Jesse, you win this week. And we have one more topic. This one comes to us from none other than EA President, the EA or Chief Operating Officer. So this is really interesting to me. So this comes from Peter Moore. And, you know, I don't necessarily just want to shit on EA, because they are, a company that creates games that some people like and they mostly ruin most of them, but that's okay. I don't want to shit on them too much, but they are the most hated.
They make Madden.
What's that?
They make Madden.
They do make Madden. They do make Madden. That's true. So anyway, Peter Moore, who's the COO, says that core gamers are uncomfortable with change, and that's why EA isn't doing too well. He says, I think we're almost going into a golden age of gaming, where it doesn't matter where you are at any time, any place, any price point, any amount of time, there's a game available to you, and our job as a company is to provide those game experiences, and then on our big franchises, tie them all together. So, Jesse, this is the problem with Mass Effect, is that you didn't have a Mass Effect app that you could also play at any time.
Oh, I thought he meant, like, they're going to do the Avengers, where you get, like, Richard Sherman and Mass Effect guy and Dragon Age guy.
I like it.
And all their other things that make a super game.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was a problem with Mass Effect, that I couldn't play it on my app.
Exactly. There wasn't a Mass Effect app that you could play that coincided with your events in the game.
It had nothing to do with the change.
Yeah. So this is what he says. He says, we as an industry have to embrace change. We can't be music. Because music said, screw you, you're going to buy a CD for $16.99, and we're going to put 14 songs on there, two of which you care about, but you're going to buy our CD. Creating music to sell is no longer a profitable concern. The business model has changed, and concerts, corporate concerts, merchandise, things of that nature. Actually, selling music is not a way of making money anymore, except for a core group. Which, I guess?
Yeah, I don't really understand what he's saying.
I think that he's been to a few too many corporate concerts because he's the COO of EA.
Right.
Corporate concerts.
I didn't know corporate concerts were a thing.
Oh, they're a total thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you want to get Biz Markie to come play, You Got What I Need at your corporate concert? It's only going to cost you like 10 grand.
Oh.
Yeah. But every band has its price. That's the crazy thing. So like, if you're down in Silicon Valley, you might go to a house party and Kid Rock's there. That's like the beginning of Silicon Valley, the TV show. So he says, as you know, I read all this stuff and it is the most intelligent commentary on the web as regards games. Oh, what is he saying here? Sorry. There's no doubt about that. But every now and again, and you've seen me do it, somebody will come in there and say something stupid, and I think it's beneath the site itself and beneath the industry. What is he talking about? Free-to-play mobile, I think core audience. Anyway, I don't know what he's talking about, but apparently he went right from music into that sentence.
He's trying to say, like, microtransactions are the way of the future?
Yes, microtransactions are the way of the future. That's what he's trying to say.
Right. And he's not, like, he's faulting the music industry for selling a too expensive CD.
Right.
So presumably, like, they want to get away from, like, a $60 game and instead give you the option to spend $60 within the game.
Yeah, which is awful. And the main point here is that he says gamers are just too resistant to that change and they don't understand that that's actually what they want.
Well, gamers are untrustworthy, are skeptical because if you dice it up like that, you can end up buying a game for $150 instead of $50, you know?
Well, yeah, and basically from these microtransactions games, it's been revealed that really what they're waiting for are whales to come in and spend literally tens of thousands of dollars on the game. And that's like the bulk of the game profits.
Which is crazy.
It's insane.
How does that ever happen?
It happens because there are random people with a lot of money who get addicted to a game and don't care how much they spend on it.
Well, that's what you want to...
That's
build your industry around. Go for it.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, man. So I talked about this earlier when I was talking about board games. And what I said is that I don't really like spending more than $50 on a game. If a game is $50, I gotta love it to buy it. Already. And that's just where I am in my life. And like, I don't buy a lot of video games. Video games are $60.
Right. Like, and what obviously the industry is actually heading towards is more of, a method like Steam uses where, sure, we'll release it for $60.
Right.
But a year from now, maybe you'll be able to get it for $30. And then a year after that, maybe you'll be able to get it for $4.50.
Exactly.
And if you really want it right away, then you can spend the extra money and get it. And if you're willing to wait, then you can get it for a deal, just like anything else.
Yeah, literally just like anything else. It's a crazy thing to me is that video game price points from publishers end at $20 for console games. So the cheapest a game will ever be is $20.
Right.
And that's if it's like a platinum hit or whatever.
Right.
Whereas Steam is like, screw that. We're going to have two sales a year. We're going to blow out the, I don't know, hard drives. I don't know, the servers. but yeah, you're going to be able to get the game and all of the DLC for $9.99.
Right. And I would love to step into a brand new 2015 Kia Sorento.
Exactly.
But I'm willing to wait a couple years and get it at a deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing that
it would be funny though if like on Steam you get on Steam sale and you buy it and you know the game is I buy XCOM, you know, and it's 2 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And it has like someone else's save files and
stuff. I love it.
Oh, it's used.
It's used.
I could see where someone used this.
Kinda smells like a dog. Yeah, got that dog smell.
It's fine.
Coming out of the vents. No. Yeah, but I mean that's just what I'm saying. It's like for some reason, people don't want to, these publishers do not want to embrace the success of the Steam, which is a total factor. And we talked about this. You know, I talked about how I was kind of shying away from the Steam box, and we got a bunch of feedback on that. That Eric, yes, you're paying more for a Steam box, and yes, you're going to have to upgrade it, but you're going to be able to get a game for $4, and you're never going to be able to do that on Xbox.
Right. I bought L.A. Noire for like $2.50.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, it's like, oh, that was a $60, you know, AAA game from Rockstar.
Yep.
And I'm gonna buy, I still haven't played it or even downloaded it, but I was like, I just want to be able to have that in case I want to be able to use it later, and it's so cheap, I'm gonna grab it.
Yeah, and they had a Steam, metrics, infographic that came out a while ago. Apparently L.A. Noire was like the number one game that people bought that they did not play.
I still want to.
Yeah, I bought that game. I bought it on Amazon used for Xbox 360, and it cost me about $14.
But if I bought it for $2.50, and then I started playing it, it's like,
right.
If you want another clue, it's going to be 99 cents. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck this. Yeah, who wants that? Nobody wants that.
And if it was a thing where, like if I maxed out all the spending that I could do with the microtransactions in the game, and it came to a grand total of $60, I would actually feel fine about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What they're doing is they're going to try and max it out at $400 or an infinite amount of money.
Well, I have a major problem with that. And my major problem with that is that video games are saying, hey, we are different than every other form of entertainment in that regard. Because every other form of entertainment, I didn't have to go to the Mariners game on Monday and pay for the first three innings. And then they asked me if I want to stay for another inning. It's going to be another $10. Or I didn't go to iTunes and, you know, and
what if they could though? Like if they could kick everyone out in the ninth inning when it's a tie game and charge them an extra ticket, they would.
Not really, because they're all about getting people, they're about getting butts in the seats, and then the people spend the money once they get there.
Yeah. I mean,
they're getting.
That's a microtransaction.
I guess so.
Okay, I'll go see the game.
I guess so.
It'll be $7.50 for a seat. Oh, you want a beer? That's gonna be $9.
Yeah, I guess.
You want
a
Mariners sock? That's $12.50.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's a form of microtransactions. But like a movie, I don't know. I guess, is that what this is? Is this selling concessions for games in your home?
I guess so.
I don't know. When I rent a movie on Amazon Prime, I pay a flat rate and I get the whole damn movie.
Right.
And I mean, yes, granted, I'm not getting a 12 or 20 hour or 40 hour game. I'm getting a 2 to 3 hour experience from that, but at least I buy it and I got it. I mean, I don't know. That's what I think that honestly.
I don't like it, and I refuse to buy EA games.
Yeah.
Because I hate their company so much. I just don't support them anymore because of that.
Well, and I think that this plays, I don't want to just shit on EA, but it plays to the reason why gamers hate EA is because EA apparently hates gamers. Like, I don't understand why they can't understand their audience. They, time and time again, they've abandoned their audience for some random, like, you know, there's a lot of words coming up, lately that the new Sims game, and I've never played Sims, but I know there are people out there who really like Sims. It's being built on the SimCity engine, which means that, like, they're not even gonna have cars in it. Like, the sequel to The Sims is going to be worse than the previous version because they're trying to build it on a different engine.
The thing is, they keep getting away with it.
Yep.
So they don't learn their lesson because they keep getting away with it.
I guess. I don't know, man.
So everyone has to be a hero like me and boycott.
Did you boycott them after Mass Effect? Because I knew you were really into Mass Effect.
I think I bought Madden.
Oh, that's true.
After that, but it's just more and more of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna have
and
to.
I don't mind what they did to Mass Effect. I didn't like it, but it seemed like everyone else did.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just me being a curmudgeon. If I'm gonna be like, "Oh, you ruined it," everyone else loves it, but it's different, and I hate it. Yeah. So. But it's more of the stuff that they do with the microtransactions and, like, the SimCity launch debacle and all this. Like, it's just been, like, a compiling of evidence against them where I'm like, well, I guess I just can't buy their games anymore because they're bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm going to have to buy Madden, but that's only because Richard Sherman's on the cover.
I know, your man Sherman's on the cover.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's get to the Facebook roundup this week. Each week on our Facebook page, we say, "Hey guys, what do you want us to talk about?" And then we talk about it in a segment that we call the Facebook Roundup. So you can find us, just go to Facebook and look for Personal Arrogance. And let's go to that now. Let's do it. I'm going to the link. Oh geez, you blew it up again. You blew it up again, guys. David says, "Happy 100th Bald Move episode," which
that's
I just
crazy.
Realized. Yeah, 100 episodes on the Bald Move Network as of this episode.
Cheers.
Your Mariners are tied for the wild card and it's NFL training camp. Exciting times must be out there. I know we are excited about football here in Western New York. I believe that's he was for the Toronto Bills. Or I'm sorry, the Buffalo Bills.
Burn.
yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm just excited that the Mariners are in it again. But I'm the only Mariners fan on this podcast, so.
Yeah. NFL training camp is nerve-wracking.
It's especially Percy Harvin, like, limped off the field the other
day. Yeah,
yeah.
He's fine.
I feel like he just should not practice at all.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be fine. Just get out there and do your thing.
Run on a treadmill and then go out there and play in the games. That's
exactly.
The only thing
you
need to do.
Show up at the mall at, like, 5:30 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Grab a walker.
Yep.
And walk around with all the other old ladies. Just stay in shape. Don't risk it. Don't get too competitive with Ethel. We all know she likes to make it to the KB Toys first.
Right.
But just take it easy, Percy.
I love this idea of this reality show of Percy Harvin and the walkers.
The mall walker.
The mall walkers. That's awesome. What else we got? Nick says poop.
The best poop. Part is he has the least ostentatious ring.
Yeah.
Like, he wears his Super Bowl ring.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, like, the least ostentatious of all the jewelry going on there.
Love it. Nick wants to talk about poop. I think we talk about poop enough. Mike says, "What actors would be cast as Eric and Jesse, the biopic of your lives?" This falls right in with casting a shadow. Your guy would obviously be Michael Cera.
Right, but I feel like in retrospect, I might be more of a Jesse Eisenberg.
No, Geordi's Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
Yeah. You're Michael Cera.
I'm Jordy LaForge.
People chimed on who I should be, so I guess we'll get to that. Anthony says ghost stories. Jesse, you believe in ghosts. Tell us a ghost story.
It was dark and ghostly night.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts were all about ghosting hither and fro.
You gotta love a word that is a noun and a verb.
many spooks were had.
Is this spooked? Yeah.
Yeah.
Spooked you good. You got spooked good. Rolo says Jason Segel would be Eric, except for Jason Segel isn't too famous to accept friend requests.
Jesus.
Apparently he's okay. So everybody friend requests Jason Segel, and then the second thing here is Matthew Lillard for Jesse, except Matthew Lillard isn't famous. You know who Matthew Lillard is?
Nah, I'm gonna look this up.
Do a quick Gmail. I mean Google. okay. I don't know.
I don't see it.
I don't really see it. Maybe like
it's
the
also
young.
44.
Yeah. He's Jordy 4. Jordy LaForge. anyway. yeah, he's just a little old, I think. But maybe you have that, that 100-yard stare, man. You are the old man.
100-yard stare.
Yeah, Gollum Arcana from Bob Ball, Bob Ball from the Word Rango podcast says, Gollum Arcana, apparently this is a Kickstarter that came out, but I did not do it.
Well, I did not get on that one.
It's from Harebrained Schemes. Apparently it is a board game from Harebrained Schemes. It does look cool. It's like, there's like minis. Oh yeah, it's like I think I talked about this. It's like the mini thing with the pen. It looks pretty cool, actually. If they have this at PAX, I want to play it. It's like a mini game, but everything is run on an app with a pen. So you like touch your pen on the mini, and then it'll like give you all your stats and stuff.
Is app like a part of an apple?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's really the core.
It's like the core of an
gameplay.
Apple.
The app is the core gameplay. What else we got? Josh Barrigo says, over under on Russian Wilson TD passes this year, 23.5. Total TDs, 27.5. That sounds good to me.
I don't think he's going to get 3 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, I think he will. 3 over 16 games?
I think you see a lot more of Russell Wilson in the pocket this year.
I would say that Russell Wilson will get more than 23.5. passing touches, because he got like 27 his rookie season, right?
I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but I'll take over on that.
Okay. James Patterson says, drop in the glottal T. Eric would be played by Jason Segel. Once again, Jason Segel for me.
He's the guy from How I Met Your Mother?
No, yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
I don't know.
He's way too chubby.
I guess because I'm tall?
Yeah, no, I don't like that one.
Yeah. Anyway, Eric would be played by Jason Segel. Would you rather get the flesh-eating bacteria or the brain-eating amoeba? Also, you should do an edition of Jesse Science Corner about the water bear, which is the most badass microorganism ever. Water bears are awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
They can literally survive in outer space. They sent them up to outer space, and they can survive in outer space. They don't need air, and they can survive in any temperature. They can withstand radiation. It's crazy. They're awesome.
Why don't we just blast these things all over the universe?
Well, that's kind of the idea, is that there's a hypothesis that they came here from another planet.
Panspermia and stuff.
Exactly. But also, I take the brain-eating amoeba any day over flesh-eating
bacteria. I'll take flesh-eating fire. I don't want my brain eaten.
They're both fatal. This is the idea, right?
Yeah, I still take the flesh eating one.
Wow, I'd go
at
with
least
the brain.
I'm with it the whole time.
Why would you want to be with it if you're dying?
Because I want to experience every precious moment that remains. I petition that we rename panspermia panovomia.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Eric says, as it is currently Shark Week, Jesse and Eric, what's your favorite shark? Easily whale shark.
Hammerhead.
Mitch says, best midnight snack. Best snack while gaming. I feel like all my posts are about food, but I'm okay with that. Best midnight snack.
Cold pizza.
Cold pizza's good. I was just going to go a glass of milk. but I don't know if that's a snack.
I'm going to allow it. Okay. That's a good answer.
And then best snack while gaming? I'm going to go...
Hot pizza.
Are we doing video gaming or board gaming?
Board gaming.
I like just some good old tortilla chips with guacamole because guacamole doesn't drip like salsa.
That's one of the things that annoys me about the rest of the Jenkins conspiracy.
What?
You guys like the tortilla chips. Who eats plain tortilla chips?
I love them. I could eat them plain all day.
Ugh, the other thing sucks.
Is that they're so
potato chips are so much better.
They're so salty and starchy that the next morning when you have a hangover, you can just eat them for breakfast and they'll like replenish your electrolytes.
I know, and you guys do it. It drives me bananas.
They are delicious.
Yeah. You guys will show up with like tortilla chips and like the queso in the little jar that's warm.
Yep.
Oh, Barf City. I'm also pretty sure of however many 10 years plus 15 years that I've known you guys, it's been going on the entire time and you guys have probably never noticed. I've never once eaten them.
Never once.
Never once eaten the tortilla chips and queso.
That's so funny. You know, actually, my favorite gaming snack, and this has happened a couple of times at your parents' house, is the Azteca...
The Fiesta Platter.
The Fiesta Platter. To go.
That's hard to beat.
It's super hard to beat. The taquitos alone are worth it.
Yeah. Fiesta Platter is the best gaming snack.
Absolutely.
It's a meal for 8 people. What a great snack.
sorry. I do love it. David says, report, prospective NHL owner reaches non-binding agreement with Seattle arena developer. This is very exciting, but I really don't think they're going to build an arena here unless the Sonics come back.
I'm just going to be pissed if they blow the name for the hockey team.
Yeah.
They'll do something stupid.
Well, I mean, the
Seattle Puget Sounds. Ugh.
The Sockeye is apparently gaining a lot of traction because they had a thing on Reddit. They were like, if Seattle gets a hockey team, what should they be called? Sockeye was number one.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So it's gaining traction, but also, like, they might just be the Metropolitans because that is the original hockey team here.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, and the Metropolitans did win the Stanley Cup in, like, 1908.
Yep.
First American team to do so.
Damn.
Take that, Blue Jays fans. Malcolm.
You'll never be the first American team to win the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
Blue Jays fans.
Malcolm says, trivia night without looking. Two questions. One. Which actors in American Hustle were nominated for Best Kiss at the MTV Awards?
Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr.
Easy. That one's simple. Name these TV shows as the debut.
What?
Name these TV shows as the debut. I think it's put them in order.
Oh.
2020, Three's Company, 21 Jump Street, 90210. I think I got this. Three's Company, 21 Jump Street, 2020, 90210.
There you go.
I think I got that, Malcolm.
I get it. It's the numbers.
Exactly. Bobby says, favorite Robin Williams movie. This one's tough.
Birdcage.
Oh, Birdcage is so good. Oh, Birdcage is good. You know, from my childhood, because, like, so formative for my childhood, I would have to say Jumanji, just because I got super into that movie for no reason whatsoever.
I'll take Hook over Jumanji, personally.
I just love Jumanji. I bought the board game. I was super into it. And finally, Josh Perigo says, Millennium Man. Don't know what that means. Is that that's a Robin Williams movie, isn't it?
Okay.
I think that's the one where he was the robot.
Haven't seen that one.
Anyway, that's our Facebook roundup this week. I think he was trying to say Bicentennial Man, which is a Robin Williams movie. just 800 years short of Millennium Man.
No, that's a sequel in the future. Exactly. That's the fifth one to Bicentennial Man.
Exactly. So let's get to Bald Move, guys. BaldMove.com. So much stuff happening right now. There's a True Blood podcast. There's a Leftovers podcast. There's Up Yours Downstairs. There's Orange is the New Cast. There's the Because Show. There's Breaking Good. They're going back and doing the first season of Breaking Bad. So find that stuff on BaldMove.com. And if you want to get in touch with us, guys, send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Follow us on Twitter, @personalpodcast. And get us on Facebook. We are at the Personal Arrogance Facebook page, which is where you can be a part of the Facebook roundup. And we just got over 300 likes, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Super cool. And we're also on the Bald Move Facebook page, which has way more than 300 likes, but we're there as well. Jesse, Recos.
Just get some good sleep, man. Wear your seatbelt and eat healthy.
Delicious. Wonderful. And yeah, I'm going to say go to PAX, guys, once again. PAX it up. If you're going to be in Seattle, let us know, and we'd love to hang out with you.
Totally.
All right, guys, so that's the show this week, Jesse. Thanks so much once again, and until next time, remember that wherever you go...
Whatever you do...
Please, stay...
Stay... arrogant, Roger Dotsy. Thank you.